You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome back to Community Living Radio. I'm Michael, and Kelly isn't with us today. Kelly is off on assignment for a while, and hopefully will join us in the next few weeks or so. So anyway, so our scheduled guest wasn't able to make it today, so we're going to do a replay from Roberta Shaler, and she was a relationship expert, relationship consultant, and why don't we just dig into the archive here with Roberta?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on the Community Living Show, here on CFRO and CITR, UBC Radio, and Vancouver's Co-op Radio. We're here today with a special guest, Roberta Shaler. Roberta is a relationship help doctor who offers urgent and ongoing care for relationships in crisis through counseling, speaking, video, and writing. She particularly focuses on her expertise on partners, exes, adult children, co-workers, and relentless, difficult, disturbing people. She calls them hijackals. We'll get Roberta to define hijackal a little more closer in a second. Working with people struggling in life, death, and relationships for over 30 years in Canada and in the U.S., Dr. Shaler has brought hope, comfort, strength, success to countless people who honestly believe it is impossible. Even in the U.S., Marines have used her services. Wow, the U.S. Marines have used Dr. Shaler. Good morning, Dr. Shaler. How are you?
Oh, very well, Michael. Thank you.
Should I stay with the formalities, or can I call you Roberta?
Oh, just call me Roberta.
Okay. Well, that's some pretty impressive intro, especially ending with the U.S. Marines, because I know that they really have a struggle with things like PTSD and when they return home, of getting relationships to restart.
So. Yes, with the Marines, I was working with a general. A female general who was very, very aware of the statistics that when Marines come home from deployment on the base for 30 days, the number of domestic violence incidents went way up. And so she was designing programs that allowed for people to get counseling before they came home, both the person deployed and the people at home, to change that, because it is very, very important for families to be ready to have those very major changes, regardless of what the person who's been off in deployment has been through.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for what only they can account for what they've seen while they were deployed. So, not having seen it, for the person being at home, there's a level of patience that I imagine that you would have to observe give to this person who's returning home for them to to make life normal again. So.
Well, it takes quite a while to make life anything like normal after somebody's been deployed, particularly when it's been 6 months or more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, when things go sideways in a relationship, deployment or not, just regular folk, they can range from annoying to downright making you crazy. What are some of the steps that people can do to actually start bringing things back to so they stop going sideways?
Well, there are two things that are absolutely important before either of those things can happen. Is first of all, you need some skills. So you need the ability to have a healthy relationship. And secondly, you need the willingness to create a healthy relationship. And many times people say they want a healthier relationship, but what they really mean is they hope their partner will change. And that's really not where the problem has to be solved from. Each person has to be willing to look within and be very honest about who they are. And they need to learn to communicate in ways that are both kind and honest at the same time. And that's the trick. So often I'm helping people learn to communicate because they just fight. They withhold themselves from each other. The silent treatment is far too prevalent. So it's very important for people to know themselves very well before they think they're going to fix or change their relationship, because they're really focused on fixing and changing their partner.
I hear that from a lot of people, you know, being a person in the media trying to get the word out about different things. And you hear that people say that, oh, well, I hope he changes soon, or I hope she changes soon, or something like that. So how do you convince people that one, compromise is a good thing, and two, changing themselves is a good thing?
Well, I don't convince them at all. If they come to see me, then for some reason they've decided that they need help. And what I can tell them is that you have to do the work. You know, I am a relationship consultant and educator. Although I have a doctorate in psychology, I no longer practice as a therapist or a counselor. Because as a consultant, I can call the shots. I can say, hey, what about this? Or this is what this looks like, or here's what I think you should do. But in those other roles, I would have to be a lot more inviting the other person to decide what they want to do. But they come to me because they're stuck. And when they're stuck, the choices are either you get unstuck together or you get unstuck alone. What do you really want to do here? Are you willing to move towards each other, or are you moving apart? And many times I describe that as people like to have this romantic notion that even though they believe that they're on parallel pathways at the moment, they actually have that romantic notion that the railway ties actually meet at the horizon if you just stay on them long enough. And we all know that they don't. You just stay on parallel paths and you never get together. So it's not about my convincing anybody. It's about, what do you want? And how badly do you want it? And what are you willing to do to get it?
Right. That makes a lot more sense than trying to convince somebody of something. There is no real convincing, I would suppose. There's a term that we got to in the beginning, and I may be jumping ahead a little bit on this one, but my curiosity is getting the better of me. What do you mean by hijackle?
That's a term I trademarked, Michael, because there are so many people who are running around looking for what's wrong with their partner, and they go to the internet and they decide to use psychological clinical terms. And it doesn't help at all. All it does is make you feel superior to the other person, and you dismiss any possibility of help. So I coined the term hijackles which is a description, and I'll give you the definition. It is people who hijack relationships for their own purposes while relentlessly scavenging them for power, status, and control. Those are behaviors. We're not describing some kind of personality disorder or some psychological deficit. We're talking about behaviors. People who are in the relationship to take it sideways so that they can win and have power over the other person, and then scavenging it for that power and control and status and things. They want to be getting something. They're not there to contribute anything good.
So there's a list of behaviors that you said it's a list of behaviors, not necessarily a personality type.
Right, because who cares about labels? We care about what we can recognize. What is this person doing? When the person does something, how do I feel about that? When I feel like that frequently, one of the things hijackers do is they make everything your fault, for example. So no matter what you do, you think you've done something wonderful, you try harder and harder and harder to please them. No matter how hard you try, it's never good enough because they are engaged in finding fault to have power over you. So you have to look at those behaviors. I mean, if you can't ever please somebody, you know, it's like the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland. It's just like off with their heads all the time.
Yeah, that's a good example of a person that can never be satisfied. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
So you can never satisfy a hijacker because they always want more wins, more praise, more power, more control. And when you begin to notice the traits, that the behavior that you're experiencing, and you can give it a name, then there's hope for you to begin to look at the relationship and realize that it's not the three things a healthy relationship has to be, which is equal, reciprocal, and mutual. And if those three things aren't there, you're going to have trouble with it. So in these relationships with hijackers, one of the biggest things is the power balance and the power deficit. And we need to be able to just recognize the power dynamic playing out. We don't need a list of things that narcissistic personalities have. We need to recognize, how are they with me in the relationship? And therefore, I've written about hijackers now for quite a while. I've got two books, ebooks out about them that people can download. In fact, if you think you might be with one, you can download my free ebook called How to Spot a Hijacker at hijackers.com. And you spell that hijack, ALS.com. So, you know, get the free ebook and then you can go on Amazon. I've written 16 books, so you can find lots of things to read there.
Yeah, I've noticed that you've written a number of books on relationships and how to improve relationships, and you know, I like what you said about the three things, that the equal, the mutual, and all.
Reciprocal.
Reciprocal, thank you. You know, those make sense, and that is what a healthy relationship is supposed to be. So how do we get to we have a partner? How do we recognize that we have those three things in them, and if we're missing one, how do we get them?
Well, first of all, recognizing that it's not equal, mutual, and reciprocal is a really big start. Mm-hmm. And usually you'll find that you're feeling resentful. That's the biggest key that you will notice. I'm always feeling resentful. And I'm feeling less than, and I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling, obviously not equal. And those things have to be rectified within the person. Many of us have been raised to be you know, nice. So nice, polite, considerate, patient, kind, all of those wonderful words, compassionate. And these are really, really good attributes to have. However, many times, and I've written about this a lot, I coined the phrase inclusive compassion. And many times we're all compassionate about everybody in the world, but we don't include ourselves in the compassion. And so we're not compassionate towards ourselves. So we have to start there and say, wow, I'm not happy. It's not that I'm waiting for somebody to make me happy, because happy is an inside job. But I'm not happy. My partner's not happy. This isn't happy. I don't look forward to this. There is some imbalance that's occurring here. Let's stop and focus on that. Let's find out what that is, and let's find out what each of us believe and feel it is, think it is, and let's talk about that. But for many people, whether we're talking about a couple or we're talking about I've been writing a lot about Mother's Day right now, so we're talking about relationship with a parent or relationship with a child, a relationship with a coworker or a sister or whatever. Whatever it is, if you can't talk about your relationship in an equitable way, it's not going to go anywhere good. Because if every time you get into it, it's always tit for tat and scoreboards and he said this and she said that and, you know, when you do this, I feel this way, and therefore you're wrong. When we get into those kind of conversations, it doesn't work at all. And so it's very important. I've written a lot about this in a book called Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship. And those couples are any couple, you know, like I said, mother, father, child, parent, co-worker, any kind of couple. I mean, certainly it talks in there about romantic relationships, but these are the things every one of us needs to know in order to have an emotionally healthy relationship, a relationship of grown-ups.
Right. This isn't just the romantic relationship. This is this could be the offspring parent relationship or the sibling relationship also, right?
Yeah, sure. Or with a friend or with a business partner or with a coworker. I mean, relationships are relationships. Yes, there are deeper relationships, there are closer relationships, there are intimate relationships. But many of the things in the book, although it's written for couples in a romantic relationship, many of the things in the book are absolutely the same things that I teach when I go into a company where there's dysfunction occurring, because we have to learn to communicate, we have to learn to be honest. And there are five things that I write about in there that I call the relational gifts. And if we don't have these five things within us, we can't bring them to the relationship. So that's why I call them gifts, because you can't give a gift you don't have. So you have to have it within yourself. You have to be treating yourself in these five ways. And when you're in a relationship with yourself that embodies these gifts, then you have these gifts to give. And what they are honesty, safety, trust, respect, and reliability.
Well, and these things, they're not like way out there sort of things. They're very basic things.
Very basic things. Yeah. But if we're not honest with ourselves, Michael, how can I be honest with somebody else, really? I can't, because I don't know what honesty is. So how does that impact a relationship? It means that if I'm not honest with myself, I'm going to make you wrong for not being honest with me, because I'm going to hold you to the standard I don't have within myself. And I'm going to resent it when you're not honest. And I'm going to say, well, it's your fault. You're ruining the relationship because you're not honest with me. But where the beginning of the work is are you being honest with yourself? How many times have I had a couple in front of me where they've said, oh, yes, I really want the relationship. Then I get them apart and one of them says, well, really, I can't stand him. And well, why do you want to be in a relationship with someone I can't stand? Well, I should try and make it work, don't you think? Well, yeah, you should try and make it work. Not for the reason you think, but because you need to learn about yourself and you need to learn some skills and strategies and you need to try them in this relationship to see if it will work for you. And if it won't work for you, then you will have the calibration to know it's time to move on.
That makes sense. Move on because the relationship has evolved in a direction, not necessarily because of problems. Is that what you mean?
Well, that is possible, but there are problems. I mean, that's why people came to see me. So let's look at the problem. Let's see if we can solve the problem, and let's also be honest enough with ourselves to say, even if I solve that problem, do I like this other person? Do I want to be with this other person? Do I trust this other person? Do I respect this other person? Well, if you don't have honesty, safety, trust, respect, and reliability within yourself, and you don't have it in your relationship, you don't have anything to stay with the person for.
And that, again, makes sense. So if you don't have the five gifts within you, then you, not only do you not have them to give, but until they're developing, you can't see them in others either.
That's right. Well, you'll never develop equality, reciprocity, or mutuality. Mm-hmm. You can't, because one, the relationship has deficits that are too large.
Yeah, deficits look more like chasms.
Gaps. and I think every relationship is an opportunity to learn and grow. And, you know, some relationships are for that exact purpose. Some of them last forever. Some of them last for a short period of time. And we have to be aware of what's going on. You know, certainly I'm an advocate of if you're in a committed relationship.
Okay, we're going to hold it up there for a second, and we're going to get to some station ID stuff. You're listening to Community Living Radio, and we're playing from our archive Roberta Shaler. And we're here at UBC campus, CITR 101.9 FM.
My gosh, Lauren, I have always wanted to be on the radio.
Christy, you know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
What?
Yeah, you can get a show or help with live broadcasts and interview people at shows around the city and make ads and PSAs that play during the shows.
Wow.
Yeah, just email volunteer@CITR.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
I will. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal? What the f***?
It's the script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain okay, just fine. Back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language. Recognizing the importance of contemporary sound,
and the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Okay, and we're back. You're listening to Community Living Radio here on CITR 101.9 FM here at UBC campus in Vancouver. And we're playing from the archive because our scheduled guest didn't show up. Playing from the archive, Roberta Shaler's interview. She's a relationship consultant, and she helps people get through the rough spots in their relationships. So let's get back to the interview. Okay, we're trying to get back to the interview. Just bear with me a second. And why is this not playing? You gotta love computers sometimes. Try something else here. We're going to get this to play. Oh, I think we figured it out. All right. Okay, so a little technical difficulties here. You gotta love it. And we are back to the interview.
And I do my work through video conferencing. So I have people in many, many countries, and they're all suffering in the same way. They all want the same thing. They all are looking for the ideal. And some of them are willing to do the work, and some of them aren't. And if we happen to come, have a couple come to see me, who, where one of the people turns out to be a hijacker, that has to be addressed right away. Because they will come, and what happens in that circumstance is quickly discernible by me. I don't know that it's always discernible, because I have people from many countries who tell me, I went to see somebody with my partner about the relationship, and I came away feeling worse because the person I went to see was seduced, manipulated, and exploited by the hijacker, and I felt that they ganged up on me. And that's way too common, because a lot of professionals do not see these behaviors. They do not see them clearly. This is my specialty. This is where I spend all my life and my juice. And if you don't, then it sounds reasonable when somebody comes in and lists all these horrible things that the other person does, and you don't have the experience to say, I think you're talking about yourself. You're blaming it all on your partner, but you're actually talking about yourself. And I need to watch for that. And then invariably what a hijacker will do is try to seduce me over to his or her side and get us on the same side against the partner. Then, of course, in my practice, that doesn't work. But so many people tell me that that's how they felt when they've gone for help. So I understand that dynamic when people come to see me.
Yeah, how does it work I'm having trouble with in a relationship, and I come to find you, and how does it work with you? How do you discern what the problems are in the relationship and give people the work to fix them?
Well, For me, I offer a free consultation. It's short. I just want to find out whether or not we're a good fit, whether I can help you. And once you do that, then you have to commit to a series of 8 or 15 sessions with me, because you didn't get into this difficulty quickly and you're not going to get out of it quickly. So if you really want a relationship to work, you have to commit to work over time. And so, I mean, then it's very individual. I watch the dynamics. I watch the body language. I listen to the language. I watch the tone of voice and the look on the face. And I can tell what's going on there. And then I just ask questions and get people talking. We get to the issues. And once we get to the issues, I give skills and strategies. And then we find if there's willingness to practice those skills and strategies. I used to own a retreat center on Vancouver Island, and I remember one couple who came, and they had 4 children, and they desperately wanted to save their marriage, they said. And I gave them a little exercise. I said, in the next week, I need you to have 2 sessions of at least 25 minutes where there's no television, there's nobody going anywhere, you're just sitting together talking. So they came back the next week, and I said, well, how did your 2 sessions go? And they said, oh, we're way too busy to do that. I said, well, you're way too busy to have a relationship. Then don't pretend that you can tell me that you want this relationship to work if you cannot find 2 25-minute periods in an entire week to sit and talk together.
Okay. I have to comment on that. That's one of the most basic things, is being able to converse with the other person if you're going to be in a lifelong committed relationship with them.
Absolutely, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
How do you share your dreams? How do you share your visions? And that's where safety comes in. You have to be safe with each other, that I can float something by you and you don't put me down. That you're curious about what I'm thinking about and curious about why I think it, and you're willing to think with me and feel with me and go through that intimate connection of mutuality. Like, I am truly interested in you. Wow, that's interesting. You weren't thinking that last week. What changed? I mean, one of the big things that causes a big moment in my office or online now, because I don't see people in my office very often, but they'll come in and they'll say, well, she's not the person I married. And I go, yay! And they're really upset, because why am I so excited? I said, well, you've been married for 10 years. Do you want her to still be how she was 10 years ago? There's been growth, there's been learning, there's been change. Did you keep pace with the growth, learning, and change? No, because you're sitting in front of me telling me that you wish she was like she was when you married her. Well, you want that 22-year-old? Come on, what's wrong with you? So, you know, let's get real about what's going on here. We can say all the right words, but we have to get down to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, relationships have to evolve. People have to evolve. People grow, right?
Well, hopefully they do, and hopefully they allow themselves to grow, and their partners are interested in their growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and there comes the honesty part again. It's like, obviously, I didn't want you to grow in that direction. I thought you would grow in this direction. And
yeah, and I want you to be more like me. The real direction I wanted you to grow is to become more like me. And when people do grow more like you, then you get bored with them. Because you were attracted to them because they're different than you, then you try to take out your sandpaper and get off all the rough edges and make them more like you. And when they become more like you, then you say that's boring, right? It's a silly, silly thing. It's our differences that interest us, and it doesn't mean that we have to be vastly different, or we may be vastly different, but it's our level of intimacy. You know, if we break that word down, as Susan Campbell said so long ago, intimacy is 4 little words, into me see. And if you are not willing to open yourself and allow someone to see you because A, you're not open, B, you're not safe to open yourself to the other person, your relationship will not be what it could be. it will not be an emotionally healthy grown-up relationship.
Wow. So, the next question that just kind of comes to me is, how do we spot within ourselves that we are attracting the hijackal to us?
Oh, good question. If in our, and we could talk about hijackals for hours, Michael, mm-hmm. but hijackals, you become a hijackal by your environment in your early life. Mm-hmm. Our brains are not fully formed until we're 25, so they're quite pliable. And for many years, we don't have language or sophisticated language. So we're taking a great deal in before we have language, before we even come to the place where we can see outside ourselves, really. And a lot is done to us during that period of time. So we may become a hijackal, or we may become what I call hijackal bait. You become hijackal bait by being in one of those environments that normalizes the emotional dysfunction that's going on in your home. And then you will become an over-accommodator, a people-pleaser, a doormat, a pretzel, whatever term you want to use, in order to please people. And that makes you into hijackal bait. So you become very ready to rationalize, justify, make excuses for other people's poor behavior. Those are symptoms of hijackal bait. So if you are hijackal bait, they will find you, and they will find you quickly. And the thing about a hijackal is that hijackal is a chameleon. That person is going to focus on you, be completely immersed in you, know you better than you know yourself. You're going to believe you died and went to heaven, and now you found your soulmate, and you're like, oh, he or she knows me so well, it's so perfect, oh, how all this. The problem with a hijackal getting you is their chameleon phase, and they're quite good at the short and the long con. And then as soon as they've got you, then they start doing things that they ought not to do. They'll dismiss you, they'll devalue you, they'll demean you. And all of these things really start to show up. And it begins by saying something offhand, and you react and you say, oh, well, that's an awful thing to say. And they, oh, no, no, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And so they get back in your good graces. And then those things start to happen faster, more frequently. And it becomes a pattern that you've been accepting the pattern. And so you're used to, you're normalized because of the hijackal in your early life. You're normalized to making yourself into a pretzel. So your internal talk is, if only I were more patient or more kind or more considerate or asked fewer questions or wasn't so demanding. And you make it all about what's wrong with you rather than looking at the other person and saying, wow, those behaviors are not good. I don't want those behaviors that I'm seeing in my partner. But because we've been normalized to making everything our fault, when that person makes everything our fault, we go along with it. We say, oh, yes, you know, I'm not a good person. I'm not kind, or I'm not patient, or whatever. And we also have the ideal romantic notion that we can change somebody. So when they behave badly, we think, oh, they're our project. We can take them on and we can change them. That's also a great big fallacy and going to take you nowhere good.
Wow. So that's a lot of information to take in. And it makes you think of Have I ever made somebody a project? Have I ever been somebody's project? It's like, it brings up the internal questions. Is like, for me, am I being honest and trusting with myself, and making one, I'd want to examine closer to myself.
Okay, we're going to hang in there for a second. We'll get back to the show in just a second. So you're listening to Community Living Radio here on CITR. And we're at the UBC campus here in Vancouver, 101.9 FM. So let's get a couple messages out here, and we'll get back to the interview.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Really good, and I've been wanting to find out more about local music.
Yeah, I heard about it through CITR and Discorder.
What's that?
It's a radio station. You can review all the music that comes in and help out with touring bands or just do some data entry to get started in their music department.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can just email volunteer at CITR.ca and they can help you get into the station or just come in whenever.
Well, I'll be there, so...
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
In Vancouver.
It's like having a clown in your head.
And welcome back. We're listening to, from our archives here at Community Living Radio, Roberta Shaler. She's a relationship expert, and we're here at CITR 101.9 FM here at UBC Vancouver campus. And hopefully this time when we restart the interview, we don't have any more tech issues. But this will be the final segment. This will be the final segment of this interview. Okay. All right. So here we go.
With that being said, we suspected we're the hijackal ourselves, and how do we determine, hey, that I'm the source of that's sabotaging my relationships, and I want to fix that?
Well, first of all, Michael, it's highly unlikely that a hijackal will ever be self-reflective enough to question whether they have a problem. Hijackals have no empathy, and hijackals have no self-reflection. They would swear blind they're perfect, and they always were perfect. So you don't have to worry about that. If you're asking yourself, am I a hijackal? You're not. If you ask yourself, do I occasionally have a hijackal trait? Everybody does.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's some normalcy within the list of behaviors that we all have them. And we use them as tools appropriately.
Sure. Well, I have a membership site, and it's at forrelationshiphelp.com. So you can go there and you can read my blogs and you can look at all the things that are available for you. But there's a membership site there. And in that, there's exclusive video that only members see. And I have 10 videos in there, among many others, that are the 10 hallmarks of a hijack. So, for example, the last one, this is something that you can use as an example of sometimes everybody does this. So the last one is sort of the big one, which is incredulity. That's the hallmark of a hijackal, incredulity. They are the people who say or do something and everybody goes, who says that? Who would ever think that? Who does that? That's what's going on in our head. And yet... we justify and rationalize and make excuses for the behavior. And so every once in a while, some of us will do something like that. We'll say or do something that everybody would say, really? Who are you kidding? How dare you say that? But if we say it frequently, such as our new president, then you have to look and say, hijackals are people who do these 10 things frequently, in fact, daily, in most cases.
Okay, you are allowed to take pop shots at Donald Trump on this show.
I will happily own it.
This is a lot of information to take in, even me being the person interviewing you here. Wow, that's just a lot of stuff. I tell you what, because we are going to run out of time soon. People need to know more about this. So why don't we find out the best ways to actually get a hold of you and so people can actually get started with you and find out how to fix their relationship problems.
Absolutely. So if you think you're with a hijackal, as I said earlier, download my free book, How to Spot a Hijackal, at hijackals.com, hijackals.com. If you want to work with me directly, then go to forrelationshiphelp.com. And you can see there, one of the things in the navigation bar says, get help from Dr. Shaler. So you can see all the things. You can become a member. You can take my group coaching program. You can work with me privately. You can see the free consultation there. It's brief. It's not to get your problems solved. It's to see that we can solve your problems. Then you can decide if you want to work with me, and I'll decide if I want to work with you in that period of time. But there's so much available to you. My YouTube channel is called For Relationship Help. There's over 100 videos there that I've made. So there's lots of free resources that I offer to people to learn how to have the life that they want and the relationship they want by creating the life they want and contributing to the relationship in a healthy way so that they get a good response.
Okay. Well, thank you, Roberta. It's been wonderful speaking with you.
Well, glad we had this opportunity, and it's always nice to talk to the homeland. You know, I live here in San Diego, and I've lived here now for 16 years, and it's a wonderful, warm place to live, and it doesn't rain, you know. But I certainly, my children and grandchildren are in Canada, so I'm always happy to go home to Vancouver and Vancouver Island. And I really appreciate talking with you and your audience, Michael.
Okay, thank you so much, and bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was our interview with Roberta Shaler. So I'm going to read you some updates from, because that was like done a number of months ago. And I'm going to read you some updates from how she's updated her profile on her website, which is now roberta.com. And Roberta is spelled roberta.com. She spells Roberta a little bit differently than most. She is well known for her gentle, effective blend of humor, practical wisdom. Dr. Shaler shares her insights as a relationship consultant, author, and professional speaker. Yes, you can actually get her to come and speak with you on stage. We almost had her come back a few months ago on a stage that we were having here in Vancouver with the company that I own, Depictions Media. We're going to have her speak with us in front of our audience, but there was some health issues in her family, so she wasn't able to make it to the show. She works with people struggling with life, death, relationship for over 30 years. In Canada and the U.S., Dr. Shaler has brought hope, comfort, strength, and success to countless people who honestly believed it was impossible. She now works with couples to restore their connection, improve their communication, and deepen their emotional intimacy. So That's some pretty cool stuff that she does for people, helping relationships grow and thrive. I think that she's taking on the problem of of our divorce rate very well, just single-handedly with some of the things that she tries to get people to do to just work on their relationships. It's pretty cool. So we're going to take off to a couple of musics here. This being from a friend of mine's band called Reed. And we had Emma Termalak on the show at Christmas time. So this is one of their songs called Destiny. Okay, so that was from Reed. We're going to do one more song, to close out the hour from the Postmodern Jukebox. So here's the one last song. We think. I think it's going now. There we go.
All the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get and use in my name. Oh, you think you broke my heart, oh boy, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care, I don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby I've been moving on, and I think you should be something that I don't want to hold back. Baby, you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone, and I never like to admit that I was wrong, but I've been so caught up in my job, I didn't see what's going on, but now I know I'm better sleeping on my own, cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself, and if you think was with you and not with them, and when you told me that my opinion was wrong, and you tried to make me forget where I came from, and I didn't want to write a song cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care, I don't, but you still hit my phone up, and baby I've been moving on, and I think that you should, it's something I don't want to hold back, baby you should know. And I never felt so low when I was vulnerable. Was I a fool to let you break down my wall?
It's Caleb Hart of Tasman Jude. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Tune in to CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around.